Good morning. So glad to see everyone. What we just heard, those announcements and those programs, all of them will be so incredibly helpful for you if they're applicable to you. If you've never been water baptized as a believer, please take that commandment of Jesus seriously and make a public profession of your faith. This will be the second time we're running that, the help for people who have been divorced. It was so helpful the first time we did that. But please note a clarification. If you're in a marriage right now and it is tough and you are thinking about divorce, that class is not for you at all. Okay, we've got incredible people here at Miracle Life. We've got people that will help counsel, help you recover from marital problems. Okay, now, if today you've already been divorced and that was in your, sometimes people are still feeling the pain of that from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, all right, if someone has abandoned you, those kinds of things, that class is for you. All right, because what we found is there was so much help and grace for people that needed that. All right, so please hear that. All right, and if you're confused, we've got a whole series that we did this year that marriage is a covenant, amen, and we take it seriously. And if it's not okay, we fix it with the help and the grace of Jesus, amen. All right, so please be aware of that. Also, just give you an update. Thank you for your prayers for Pastor Haley. She had her last chemotherapy session when they had February, when cancer was detected in her body, in her right breast, and so her fifth chemo was really tough and it really knocked her out. This sixth one, she basically has had zero symptoms. It's amazing. And Not that I'm not trusting God, but every day I kind of, or in the morning I'll say, how was last night? Because usually it was in the night where it's hard. She goes, it was great. I had supper, went for a walk, and I'm like, hallelujah. The next night, same thing. So thank you so much for your prayers. Now there's a bazillion tests next week, surgery, the results of the surgery. So we're kind of in phase two, we could say, right now. But thank God he is with us everywhere. And as we sang today, Jesus does not fail us. Amen. So thank you for your prayers. Okay, we're going to start a new series, and we're going to go for a number of weeks, and it's the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, okay? So it's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The first time you saw John, that's 1 John. No, it's his. John wrote three epistles, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and they are marvelous. And the first one is the longest one, so we're going to take some time going through that. And here's our challenge to you, and here's what we would ask of you, is read through the entire epistle of 1st John multiple times during this series. Okay, really, it's five chapters. You can do it this afternoon. You can do it in an evening. But the more familiar you are with the material and the text, the more, I really believe, the more impact it will have when we preach about it, okay? The sermons will be helpful, but you'll be able to say, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking about that. And, oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit helped me to see that. And it'll just go, I believe it'll go deeper, okay? So just make that a part of your normal Bible reading or take some extra time to do that, and I'm going to do that as well. All right, so let's start in 1 John, and one thing that's going to be interesting, you're going to see this, is John's epistle, and especially this first one, it's different than the way Paul writes his epistles. And I know at Miracle Life we have a lot of lawyers and people who would like to be lawyers, and that's great. And then I think we've got lots of engineers and accountants. And so there's a certain amount of logic that comes to those kinds of professions and thinking. And Paul, the way he presents is he builds a case like a lawyer. And so he presents this knowledge, and then he'll use this word a lot. Therefore, and then he'll apply it at the end. And so I'll be honest, I really like Paul's epistles a lot. because it kind of it just makes sense. It's like, ah, yeah, oh, because you said that, now we're in chapter 5. And, well, warning, 1 John is not like that. People call it cyclical. And so you might come in a week from now and say, well, didn't we talk about that like last week? Yes, we did, and that's what John does. Is he kind of circles back, and then he says it in a different way, comes at it from a different angle, but it is just as helpful. Now, I would imagine some of you are going to like it better, maybe. You're not logical. And that's okay. All right. We know who you are. We love you. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. If we didn't have you, the world would be a very boring gray and dark blue place. Okay. So, let's get into this. John, 1 John 1, and we're going to go through the first 7 verses today. Starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. There's His thesis statement right there. That's His purpose statement of the whole epistle. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. Ready for it? The message? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Woo, there's a lot there, isn't there? That is jam-packed. So, now, the first part, the you could almost say his introduction there, the first 4 verses, is that he is saying that, John, I was with Jesus. I walked with Him. I saw Him. If you note that his intro there is very, very similar to the intro of his gospel, all right, where he said, we saw we saw grace and truth, the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus. And so the New Testament was written by people who had firsthand knowledge of Jesus. So we weren't there, you and I, right? But he is, because of his firsthand knowledge, he is able to, people would say, apostolic authority, the apostles that wrote the Bible, to declare what he saw and what the Holy Spirit has revealed so that we could know Jesus like he knows Jesus. All right? Notice he's not lifting himself up that I've got this special knowledge and bummer for you because you weren't there. He said, I want the fellowship that I have, I want you to have it. The same level of understanding. So, we declare this knowledge to you. So the knowledge that started with the disciples carries on to us. All right. Elsewhere in the New Testament, it says we love Him whom we don't see. Okay. And arguably, we walk in a greater degree of faith than John, because he was there. He was at the crucifixion. We love Him. And we come to church and we sing to a God we cannot see, but we know He's alive. Amen. And so it's rooted in this knowledge of what the Bible gives us. All right. So notice there in verse 4, it says, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So the result of this fellowship that he talks about in verse 3, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with each other, what that is going to do is produce joy. Now, here's just kind of a good gauge, just with your life with God and your Christian walk, and what is your life like when you think about God and when you read the Bible? If it's not full of joy, it's not yet what God wants it to be. All right? Now, our joy doesn't come from whether your football team won or lost, or whether the traffic was good or bad, or whether you had a flat tire on the way to church or not, right? Those are circumstances that affect our happiness. Okay? Joy comes from God, and it comes from within. It's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And this joy is from the result of fellowship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up around different types of Christians. And I had different Christian influences and different churches, and went to, in high school, went to a Christian high school, and then I went to a Christian college. So I've kind of, it's enriched my life to be around different kinds of Christians. But I've noted that there are some kinds of Christians that if we said, these things we write to you that your joy may be full, they didn't get the memo about full joy. They were the most miserable, sad, depressed. And it was almost like that's part of their spiritual DNA. That happiness and being bubbly, that's worldly. Okay.
So we are very serious for Jesus. Very serious.
And these types of people are usually upset about something all the time. And this was before social media. Imagine what they're like now, right? I mean, most people go to social media just to get mad, all right? They watch YouTube videos to be agitated. That's why they do it. Can you tell? Right? Well, the world's troubled enough, isn't it? Okay, but no, our life and our walk with God and our walk with God, this is a really, really big point of 1 John, is our walk with God is not just with God, it's with people. It's with fellow Christians. So that whole deal is supposed to be full of joy. Okay, now, no, it's not that everything goes right all the time, all right? And you never break the yolk of the egg when you're frying your eggs, right? Life happens, right? And people are crazy. And sometimes you're crazy. But that there is a joy that comes from fellowship with Jesus. A joy, all right? And so, as we go through this, we believe and we want to have John's goal happen in your life, that your relationship with Jesus and with the Father will grow and it will expand. And in 2-3 weeks, people that you know will say, well, what happened to you? Why are you happier? Well, because there's a more richness of my fellowship with God. Amen? So that's what that we write these things to you, all right? Let me read that to you from the New Living Translation. This is in that same passage. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you, so you can experience it, this knowledge of Jesus, along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, New Living Translation. Our motive for writing you is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. Okay? John had this love, fellowship, relationship with Jesus. Arguably, he's Jesus' best friend on the earth. And he said, you can have that too. I want you to share in the relationship that I have, just like I had with Jesus. All right, so Now, and he's saying, I'm gonna tell you what I saw, but at the central heart of the message is, verse 5, God is light. God is light. Now, the second half of the epistle, he's going to make another central statement. God is love. All right, so those two themes of light and love are just going to be woven in so much of what we're going to see and learn. Okay, so God is light. All right, go ahead and put up verse 5 there, if you would, on the screens. Because, you know, that's a really good statement. Jesus, again, John said that John chapter 1 in his gospel. God is light. How many of you know if the full stop was there, that would be a good verse, wouldn't it? God is light. But he goes on to clarify something, doesn't he? God is light, and in him, in this God who is light, there is no darkness at all. Now, why did he have to say that? Because throughout church history, we've gotten this wrong. Okay? That God is the sweet and the sour. He's the yin and the yang. He's the good side of the force and the bad side of the force, for you Star Wars fans. Okay? Right? And God is saying, that's not true. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. One of the huge things that comes from the Bible, from the Old Testament, the life of Jesus, the New Testament, is that our God is a self-revealing God. He tells us what he's like. Now, why? Is it so that we can do well on the Yahweh trivia game on Friday night? No. It's not just so that we can have an understanding. It goes back to what John is saying, so that we can have fellowship, so that we can have a richness of joy. And the longer I've lived as a Christian and hung out with other people, is that Christians that have no joy and that are constantly upset typically have a wrong picture of God, have a unbiblical view of the God who is light, and in him no darkness at all. All right. So God says, I distinguish myself from darkness. I'm not darkness. Now, I've heard some well-meaning Christians say this, that kind of like a, you know, this back of our stage here is black, okay? And especially when we do like plays and things like that, and one of the reasons why you have something that's black is because whatever's in front of it, it really pops out. Okay, so if that background was blue and yellow like my suit and tie, it would be kind of confusing, wouldn't it? All right, and so some people say, well, you know, God creates and allows and orchestrates evil so that his glory can pop and be visible. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. The evil that is in the world is here by the invitation of man. Man. Did you read Genesis 3? When did it go wrong? Not by the design and the plan of God, but by the rebellion of man. And for this age, if you look at Genesis 1 and 2, and then if you look at the last two chapters of Revelation, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And it's not going to end this way. God will make Eden again. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, a new city, and there will be no darkness in it. All right? And all the crazy people will be on the other side of the gate Woo! Glory! Wonderful! All right? So God will make it new, but He has chosen during this time, oh, the mercy and the forbearance and the patience of God, that He's not fixing everything right now, like it will be fixed at the end. So what we have, you and I live in a world that is a battle zone. There is the kingdom of God that's within us, right? Okay? Jesus is not making another throne. Jesus doesn't have a political party. Sorry. Sorry for your color. But that's not Jesus' party. Okay? Now, hopefully Jesus can be working in your party. That'd be great. All right, and that would be up to you if you want to let Him shine in your party. All right, amen. Okay, so we live in this world where there is darkness and where there is evil, and God is saying, I am not that. Okay, so the Bible, and this isn't the only place where this idea is where God has chosen to say, God is, and God is not. And He wants us to be able to distinguish the two so we don't get it wrong. All right? In Him is no darkness at all. Now let's turn to James chapter 1, because this is a very parallel passage to that idea. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay? James, who wrote an amazing epistle here, and again, it's interesting, he puts it in the beginning so that we can kind of get this as a foundation of our thinking. And he's talking about temptation, okay? That's the context of what he's saying. James 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Well, I guess God just allowed that bribe to come to my office, it was a test from Him. Okay, here's what James is saying. Don't say that! Shh, be quiet. Stop saying that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Why? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Well, that's good news, isn't it? That's clarifying God's nature as far as what He does and what He does not do. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Here's just a side thought. Look at verse 14 and 15 there. Did James forget to talk about the devil? Huh? Did he forget to talk about the generational curse of adultery? Yeah, he forgot because it's not there. When we are tempted, where does it come from? Your own heart, your own mind. Self-deception. Okay? So, that's just a thought. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Deceived about what? Deceived about where stuff comes from and what's going on in my life and mind and heart. Don't be deceived, because you can be deceived. All right? Don't be deceived. And then he clarifies it in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Okay, so part of His light nature is good and perfect gifts. Good and perfect gifts, from whom there is no variation. No variation. All right? There's no, we don't have to ever hook God up to a meter to see where's the fluctuation today. No, it's just light, love, grace, truth, full all the time, never ceasing. Okay? There's no variation, no shadow of turning. Okay? So, God is and God is not. So every good and every perfect gift. Now, good and perfect gifts. That sounds like Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. All right? So even John's doing cyclical, so this is in, we're going to do a little cyclical too with him today. And we'll look at these things from other angles from the Bible. John 7, verse 7, this is Jesus talking about prayer. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Wow, that gives us assurance, doesn't it? And then he illustrates that. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Okay, now if you're in the audience, you go, I don't really know a guy like that. Okay, now my friend from high school is not the best dad, but he's not that bad, right? So that's kind of the response we're supposed to be thinking. Or the same son who asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Okay, and this was a poisonous snake, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what? The good and the bad, the sweet and the sour, the rain and the thunder and the lightning and everything in between. No, no, no. He gives what kinds of things? Good things. Now, please, 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 you must understand that when the Bible says every good and perfect gift, James, good things, Matthew 7, Jesus, this is good as God defines good. Okay? So again, you're frustrated in your marriage and, oh man, I'm just tired of this spouse. I need an upgrade. I need somebody better. And you meet somebody at work. Oh, praise, this is so good. No, it is not. You are deceived. You think it's good. It's not good. All right, so there are things that we label as human beings as good. Heaven does not label them as good. Okay? So we got to make sure we get our good right. Okay? As God defines it. Okay? So, serpents, poisonous snakes, stones that you try to eat, what are those? Those are things that are harmful. Those are things that are unhealthy. Those are things that will destroy your life. Okay? So God is saying that my gifts, what comes from me, does not destroy you, does not harm you. Okay? Now, Jesus said that there's going to be times where we follow him. You don't always get your way with God, right? You kind of know my story. Pastor Haley and I were in Johannesburg, helped plant a church, and we knew God wanted us to pastor. And so in my mind, I have already become a Durban church planter. I'm going to preach by day and surf in the evenings, and all for the glory of Jesus, right? So that was my plan, and I wanted it bad. And then God sent us, you know, 1,000 kilometers the wrong way from the ocean, right? Yeah, there are not too many African nations that are landlocked, but hey, here I am. I got one of them. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. But it's awesome. So, amen, right? So this is not about you getting your carnal way all the time with your life, right? Okay, yes, we follow Jesus, and sometimes it's tough, but it's not harmful. It's not destructive. Do you hear me? Do you hear Jesus? Okay. Not serpents, not rocks. Jesus put it this way himself, John 10:10. Again, God and not God. God and not God. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. So, again, distinguishing between I came and I have a purpose statement, give you life and that life more abundantly, whatever that is, right? But he distinguishes himself from a thief. And these, he was talking about sheep and shepherds, all right? So the shepherd helps bring the sheep to life. Psalm 23, green pastures, still waters, that which will enhance our life with the shepherd. And then there are those who want to steal. And when they steal the sheep, what do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Selfishness. Self-centered. Okay? So, that they may have life more abundantly. Okay? So this doesn't mean just not that you're dead. Okay? That's you're alive. New Living Translation says a rich and satisfying life. NIV says life to the full. All right? Life as God meant for it to be lived. Okay? So, God and not God. Turn to Acts 10:38. In him is light, and in him is how much darkness? No darkness. No darkness at all. Acts 10:38. So, this is Peter speaking, again, as a first-hand witness, and the Holy Spirit was going to be falling on the Gentiles, and this is at Cornelius' house, and so these were people that didn't have a knowledge of Jesus, they didn't have a knowledge of Messiah from the Old Testament, they didn't have the Old Testament, didn't grow up, they were idol worshipers. And so he's giving some wonderful summary statements about God and Jesus. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So the help of the Holy Spirit that Jesus received when he was baptized, so we receive the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Right? And so there'll be fruit that comes from it. And here's what he noted about Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by God's mysterious plan. God and not God. They were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus, the people that he met who were oppressed of the devil, and there was sickness and disease, there was demon possession, there were people who were in sin and wrong. When he left them and when they trusted him and yielded to him, they were no longer oppressed by the devil. That shackle was loosed from their life. Okay? So good in this text is equated with healing and being released from the devil's plans, from the devil's oppression, which in this case is sickness and disease. Okay? So, healing is God. What's not God? The stuff before we were healed. Okay? And that includes our physical body. It includes confusion of our mind. Includes satanic bondage of sin. All right? Devilish oppression, the works of God and the works that are not of God. All right? Paul told us that, and this is a really helpful thing to know, is that, so you and I have the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It's called light. And we share it with people. But it says that the God of this world, and where Paul writes that in to the Corinthian church, it's small g. So not God, God Almighty, but the God of this world or this age has blinded their eyes lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel. All right, so Satan is hindering the gospel from being heard, all right, and confusing people's hearts and minds. But he's known as the god of this age, all right, or Paul said in Ephesians 6, the rulers. So they have some work that they are doing, and it is short-lived. Now, here's the wonderful thing. You and I, we're not a part of that kingdom anymore. But make no mistake, those that are not in God's kingdom, they have a ruler. Right? They have influence in their life, and sadly, it's not heavenly. Okay, so look at one more verse about God and not God. Jeremiah 32:35, and you may know the story of Israel, Judah. Israel, the northern tribes, were taken captive, never came back. All right, they were just scattered. Judah, that had more of God, but also really messed up. They were captured by the Babylonians, and many of them were then held captive, and they went to Babylon. Okay, and they were in captive for a number of years. Then they came back to Jerusalem, and there was restoration. But they were being judged by God, and they were naughty, and they were terrible, and they'd done some horrible things. And one of the things that infuriated God the most was that, so God was to be worshipped, and they had the temple, and you would bring sacrifice, and it was prescribed, and all those things were forerunners of Jesus, the Messiah, and his sacrifice. But the nations around them worshipped idols. And the god of Baal, and there was another god, the god of Moloch, that the way that you would worship Moloch was that you didn't bring a bull or a goat, you brought your own flesh and blood children, and they were offered to the demon god of Moloch, and they were roasted in fire. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, it's supposed to. And that's why God says, I can't handle it that my people are roasting their children to a demon god. Okay? It's gotten that bad. Okay? How many know we live in a bad time, but I guess it's not that bad, right? Yet. Okay, so the people of God are being rebuked about this. Jeremiah 32:35. They built high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Moloch. And notice what God says about this act that they did. Though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So not only did I have nothing to do with this, it would never even come into my mind to do that. So what is God saying? What they're doing is not God. God and not God. What did James tell us? Do not be deceived, my brothers. Don't be deceived about what is God and what is not God. Okay? And we could just go on and on and on today about all these different things that are distinguished. Okay, now, if we get back to John's analogy of light, and darkness. Go to Acts chapter 26, because the God is light, and his kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan is the god of this age, and his kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, deceit, lies. How many of you know when you're in the dark, you cannot see what you need to see? And so a driver that's driving in the dark with no headlamps, because they're carrying stolen goods, right? They don't want to be caught, all right? Or you get up in the middle of the night and you don't want to wake up your spouse, so you try to make it to the bathroom without turning on the lights, and then you bang your foot, right? Why did you do that? Because it was dark. Because you were deceived. You didn't know where you were going. Acts 26, verse 17. This is Paul. He says, and this is what God had instructed him and told him. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So God rules the kingdom of light. Satan rules the kingdom of darkness, and they are distinguishable. Now, here's some wonderful, wonderful good news for us. Colossians 1:13. Now, I want us to see, this is written to believers, all right? And it says, He has delivered. So before we read the rest, He has delivered. So the past tense, present tense, future tense of verbs, when did this happen? He has delivered us. It's already happened, isn't it? Okay, it happened in the past. This is a part of our spiritual inheritance as a result of being born again. So when we were born again, something happened. We didn't know exactly what happened. And much of the New Testament is telling us what happened when it happened. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Transferred, delivered, something that we could never do. All right? So you and I were taken out of darkness. Satan has no authority in your life if you're a believer. He's not your father anymore. Okay? So now John makes an argument. Since that's true, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't mess around with darkness as a believer. Okay? 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, who's this written to? It's written to Christians. All right? So it is possible that we can be conveyed and transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and still go back and then walk in darkness. And you know what happens when we do that? We are self-deceived. We are actually lying to ourselves. We're not practicing the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, that wonderful relationship. And this one is with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you and I are children of light. We are light bearers. We shine for Him. And let's sum it up here in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So not only is God light, but because we're born from above, then we are born from above. We are born in that love and light. So just as God is love, and then He pours out His love into our hearts when we're born again, Romans 5:5, all right, we get to be children of light. Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were darkness, but now, everybody say now. Now, because of that deliverance, I heard Miracle Life doesn't believe in deliverance. Oh man, do we believe in deliverance? Colossians 1:13, deliverance. All right? You can tell your friends that I went to a deliverance service at Miracle Life today. OK? okay? Because you did. Okay, Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. John said it just slightly. Walk in the light. For the light is found in all that is good and right and true. No darkness at all. And try to discern. I mean, figure it out. What is pleasing to the Lord? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Okay? And this is not Facebook investigative journalism here. Okay? Where do you expose the works of darkness? In your own life. In your own life. You bring them to the light of God. The one thing you're going to learn in your relationships, and if any of you are ever in as a pastor one day, you cannot repent for someone else. Oh, I wish I could. Okay. I wish your life had a remote control that I could operate. All right. How many of you know, for some people in your life, the only button you wish is just pause. I don't want to delete them. I just pause them for a day. Okay? All right. But you don't have someone else's remote where you can hit go beep beep, repent, and they transform their life. No, you can't do that for someone else. But oh, can we do it for ourselves? Okay. And so when I have a situation, or there's a, like James said, a desire, and I say, hey God, it's me again, talking about, you know, that same thing again. We've been talking about it for 30 years, but hey, I'm exposing that to the light of your love, the light of your grace. Amen. Because I want to walk in light with you, because you're that way and that's what you've called me to. Amen. So we are going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the love of God, and we're going to it all comes from understanding Him and then living Him out in our life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You, for You are good. And Father, there is the world that we live in. Lord, there's a lot of man-made religions, and they just make stuff up about their God that are false and not true. But God, then we also live among the body of believers worldwide, where there's such a range of opinion about what You're like. And Father, while You are immeasurable, You have, by Yourself, sovereignly chose to express Yourself in the pages of Scripture. And so, Lord, help us to get this right, because it's a big deal. It affects our fellowship. It affects how we're going to walk. Father, thank You. We know that in You is light. You are light, and in You is no darkness at all. Every good, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We can trust You. We can trust You today. We can trust You with our families. We can trust You with our money. Every part of our life. Because You're good. You're good. And so once again, Father, even if we've known You for 20 or 30 years, we bow before the throne of grace. Oh, Father, thank You for mercy. We obtain help today. We love You so much.